In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Whether it's fair or not, what people see in us, they will associate with Jesus Christ. If someone knows I'm a believer, they associate Christ, they associate Christianity with my behavior, with my words, with my attitudes. And that's quite a responsibility. In Paul's letter to the Colossians that we heard this morning, he says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory." Now, this certainly has a kingdom to come meaning, but it also has a meaning here on this earth in this time. When Christ appears, you also appear with him in glory. Where Christ is, there we also will be seen. I'm reminded of this victory speech by one of the politicians this past November. It wasn't one of the main ones. It was like a congressman from some other state. But I saw a clip of it last month. Now, how many months does he prepare or fundraise and then campaign and do all the stops and all the things that go into it? And finally, election day comes and he wins. And he's on the stage, you know, in front of all his supporters, basking in that moment of glory. And he's giving his victory speech. And he's surrounded by his advisors, his staff, and his family. And then this is what happens. The camera's focused on him, and he's thanking everyone, you know, for all the work that they've done. And suddenly there's a different camera, different angle, shows a shot of everyone around him. And one of his chief advisors, she chose that moment to adjust her undergarments. Uncle Ernest in the back has his thumb in his nose. Two kids are fighting over the Samsung tablet in the front. Half of his staff have their faces buried in their cell phones. No one seems to be aware that the guy that they supported all these months is speaking. Even worse, no one seems to be aware that they are on stage and on camera to be captured on YouTube forever. Kind of an icon of this passage. When Christ appears, you also will appear with him, whether you know it or not. Now, people will forget a political speech moments after it's over, probably while it's still even happening. But with our souls, the stakes are much higher. When Christ appears, what will you be caught doing or saying? And likewise, when someone sees you as a believer, what will you be caught doing and saying? And I can probably come up with a few deeds of my own and maybe even more words that I really don't want in the spotlight. Therefore, the time to be ready is now. You know, Advent is given to us not only to prepare for Christmas. In fact, I would say that's the smallest part. The main point of Advent is to prepare ourselves for Christ, to prepare for his return, to prepare for unexpected moments when we are associated with our faith in him. Although, in fact, they really ought not be unexpected because we are already warned and already alerted. There really is no excuse. In fact, today's gospel reading is all about excuses. The Lord invites us to his banquet, to his company, to his presence. And we, as humanity, make excuses. I bought some oxen, I can't come. I bought land, I can't come. I just married a wife, I can't come. And you know, these really aren't trivial excuses either. None of them said I'm going to the movies and I can't come. You know, these are big life events, family and work and putting food on the table. And still the Master expects us to be ready for him first and not let even the essentials of life become an excuse. You know, I saw this great short video, a little kid, maybe 2 years old, he's British, and he had drawn all over a mirror with his mom's lipstick. And she asks him if he did it. And he says no. And then she says, well, who did do it? And in his little British accent, it was Batman, you know, Batman. Batman did it. You know, the tendency to make excuses starts young. It starts when we're tiny. And while a two-year-old with his mom's lipstick might be cute and might be sweet, again, with our souls, the stakes are a lot higher. What are the excuses we make for not immersing our lives more fully in the life of Jesus Christ? And that doesn't mean we don't get married. It doesn't mean we don't work hard or don't own land. What it means is our work must be immersed in Jesus Christ. It means our family life must be immersed in Jesus Christ. It means our day-to-day living must have Christ first, where nothing comes before it, or him, I should say, so that when Christ appears, we are ready to appear with him in glory. You know, as an addendum, Christ appears in ways we don't always expect. He'll appear to us in our customer. He'll appear to us in our coworker, our students, someone who sees my social media. All of these people are Christ appearing with and to us. 3 years ago, this high-ranking Mormon bishop went to a makeup artist and did the whole homeless man get-up, complete with a facial cover and everything. And then he went to his church that morning to see how people would react. And the reactions were varied. Nobody was outright cruel to him. Some gave him money. Some invited him to stay for services. Others ignored him, you know, pretend they didn't see him, pull their kids closer. A few actually asked him to leave. But he sat in the back, and then when the sermon began, he walked up the center aisle and took his place at the pulpit and peeled this makeup artist's makeup off. And there were gasps as everyone recognized him as their leading bishop. And it was a lesson on Christ appearing in ways that we don't expect. Advent is the time to prepare not just for Christmas, but for Christ's appearing. I began by saying, whether it's fair or not, what people see in us, they will associate with Christ. That doesn't mean it's unfair to us. That means it's unfair to Christ. But what people see in us, they will associate with him. People associate Christianity, people associate Jesus Christ with my behavior and my words and my attitudes. Because when Christ appears, you also will appear with him. Amen.